gathered together to worship you. We thank you in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will be present here to bless. As we consider together the vital topic of spiritual protection for you and your family. Lord, as you spoke to us through the Word many years ago, when we first gave our hearts to you, speak to us again this morning, we pray. And lead us on to higher ground, to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I believe that we are living in the very last days of Earth's history. Do you believe that? I believe that soon, and it is an event that will even take the elect by surprise, that soon, very soon, we're going to see the King. We have our plans, even it is the new in thing to set dates again. In the 90s, I hear it down in Tennessee anyway, 92, 94, 96. Talked to some folks, they said 97. I tell you, my friends, it could be today. Have you ever thought with all of your plans, the Bible says, don't even say a year from now. Just say if the Lord wills. I pray to God Jesus will be here before the year's out. How about you? Before the year is out. But the Bible says in these last days, perilous times shall come. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12 that in that time there will be a time of distress such as never was since there was a nation. I have a simple message and yet a vital message this morning. In these last days, the people of God need spiritual protection. And I suggest to you that not only do you need spiritual protection, but there are people that you love who need spiritual protection too. Amen? In fact, I challenge you this morning, my sister, my brother, that there is someone that needs your prayers today. Am I right? And so I want us to turn to the Word of God. You see, the Bible tells me that our enemy is not a pleasant character. His name is Diabolos. Those of you who are Spanish, it's close to the Greek word, diablo. Diabolos, it means one who thrusts through. That's what it means. The devil has kind of done a good PR job. Some people think the devil's okay today. But the Bible says that he is a liar and the father of lies. The Bible says he is a murderer from the beginning. And I suggest to you this morning that the devil has only one intention for you and those that you love. And that is to drag you down to hell. That's all. To destroy you and your family and all that is precious to you. I suggest to you this morning that the people of God need spiritual protection. And so I want to invite you to open your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And we will discover there in this passage that has changed my life and saved my children. We will find in this passage three strategies in our battle against the Abelos. Three strategies from God that we might be spiritually protected in these last days. Follow with me, if you would, from Ephesians chapter 6. I begin with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says, finally, you have a King James, it includes a couple of words there. What does it say? My brethren, brothers and sisters, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. The first strategy and the primary strategy. I've got some exciting things to share with you today. But if you miss this one, you miss the most important one. The first strategy in spiritual protection against Diabolos is that we need to choose Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's notice who the letter is written to. He says, finally, my brethren, who are these people? Lots of people that call people brethren. You can belong to clubs and secret organizations and all kinds of things. Communist Party and trade unions, they'll call you brother. So who are these people to whom the apostle is writing? Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to whom? To the saints in Ephesus. Who are the saints? What does it say in the text? The faithful in Christ Jesus. I want to suggest this first strategy to you. It is not enough to be religious. It is not enough to be a member even of the remnant church. We must choose Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That's the first strategy. And I want to show why we must choose Jesus as the personal Savior. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. You see, there are some people that think, well, I can just kind of be neutral. I don't want to be in the hands of the devil. You know, even a madman doesn't want to be in the hands of a devil. But I don't want to be in the hands of Jesus either. That's what some say. But look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because your enemy, Diabolos, prowls around like a roaring lion. What's the character of this enemy? What does he want to do to you? That's right. He doesn't want to scare you. He doesn't want to win you over to his opinion. What does he want to do to you? What does he want to do to your children, sister? To your friends? What does he want to do? Drag you down to hell. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. If you've never talked to a person that's experienced Satan head to head, you don't understand what I'm saying now. But if you've been outside of Christ and you've met the devil face to face, you know you are in trouble. He'll destroy you. But we notice in this text, the Bible says that while he is going around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, incredible thought, the Bible says, resist him. You say, how do you resist a roaring lion? We resist him by standing firm in the faith. And what's the faith? Turn back to Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. When the devil comes upon you like a roaring lion, what are you going to say to him? You know, I believe in the Sabbath. Do you? I thought one time, you know, where else would I go? I mean, I'm a Christian first. I'm a Christian, so I've got to find a Christian church. And I'm a Sabbath keeper. I mean, where am I going to go? But I tell you this, as precious as the Sabbath is, when the devil comes upon you like a roaring lion, you can't say to him, 7 days of Sabbath. You see, he knows that. He knows that better than a lot of preachers out there, doesn't he? You can't say to him, you got to give a tenth of your income to the Lord's work. He knows that. As good as that is. Being doctrinally correct is not worth, to use a southern expression, a hill of beans. I don't know where that comes from. But it's not worth a hill of beans when the enemy comes upon you like a roaring lion. Acts chapter 20, look at it with me. By the way, I want to encourage you to get a copy of this message this morning and send it to someone that you love. Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. The apostle says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Standing firm in the faith means standing firm in Jesus Christ. So the devil comes upon you like a roaring lion. And you need what? What do we need? Spiritual protection. And the first step and the primary step, and it always must be the first step and the primary step and the only step for all of our questions find their answer in Jesus. We need to choose Jesus as our personal Savior. Amen? Amen. And when we do that, Satan is in trouble. He's in trouble. Because Jesus has already won the victory. And he doesn't mind where we stand as long as we don't stand in Christ. He'll get you in church as easily as he'll get you in a bar if you're outside of Christ. We have a problem among us. And it's not common, it's not unique to this church. We have the dangerous idea that if we know about Jesus, that we're safe. We somehow have the idea that if Satan comes upon us, that we could say, in the name of Jesus, go away. Or some have the idea that you could take the Bible and kind of hold the... Have you heard of people? They think they can hold the Bible up, you know, when the enemy comes. There's a story in the Bible. It's a troubling story in Acts chapter 19. Would you look at it with me? Acts chapter 19. Some folk thought that they could use the name of Jesus against Diabolos. He said, I thought you could. Let's look and see. Acts chapter 19. Some of the Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. The Lord Jesus, they said. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. They're fighting spiritual battles. And the Bible says in Acts 19 and verse 14, seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them. You've read this text, haven't you? The evil spirit said, Jesus, I know. And I know about Paul, but who in the world are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. It is not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough to say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, go away from me. We must choose Jesus personally. And that is such powerful news. I'm going to share with you a story on Wednesday morning that you need to hear. A most incredible miracle that God gave me the privilege of witnessing not many months ago that has radically changed my life. A young woman bound by Satan who would cut herself with knives and burn herself and hit her head with a baseball bat. You say, she must have been at some kind of hospital for the insane. No, she was a student at Southern College of Seventh-day Adventists. I'm going to share that story. I'll get excited. I'll share it with you right now, but we don't have time. But the day after her healing, she walked to my house, and my wife saw her and said, I don't even need to hear a word. She has been set free. But I want to tell you what happened the next day, so you come back on Wednesday. I sound like an evangelist, don't I? But I want to tell you what happened the next day. The next day, by the way, she had been harassed by Satan because she had suffered trauma as a child. Satan uses the sins of others to lay claim on the lives of our children. There is someone that needs your prayers today. But the next day, she said, I felt the presence of the evil one coming. And I said, get behind me, Satan. I belong to Jesus. And immediately, the devil left. If you hear nothing else this morning, sister, remember that. If you're not even here, but you'll listen to the tape, remember that. When the devil comes upon you like a flood, you need to choose Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. Not some magical mantra, some little jingle like abracadabra. But those who call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And Satan's in trouble. For the first strategy of spiritual protection is to choose Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And then the Bible promise will be fulfilled. I hope you memorize it. 1 John. Chapter 4, in verse 4, it's one that has been put to music. And it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you have chosen Jesus as your personal Savior, the devil is in trouble. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we're not done. Come back with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at the second strategy And as I prayed through what to share this morning, Friday night, in the President's remarks, Friday night, in the sermon, Sabbath, in the sermon, time after time after time, God brought to our attention about the armor of God. In fact, our President quoted from the Testimonies, Volume 6, page 41, which says, if the people of God will put on the armor of God and devote some time every day to prayer and meditation, victories will be won which will cause the kingdom of darkness to tremble. And I say, amen. But during the weekend, nobody told us how to put on the armor of God. Now, I'm a simple person, and it's not a lot of good to know you should do something if you don't know how. I went to the ABC one time. I didn't see it here, but at the ABC in Collegedale, Tennessee, they had a plastic armor of God. It was $22.95. It had a belt of truth. It had a breastplate of righteousness, nice plastic one. It had little Gospel of Peace sandals and a plastic shield of faith. It had a plastic helmet of salvation and a plastic sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I thought to myself, isn't it strange that we provide plastic armor of God for our children, but we don't teach them how to put on the real armor of God? A couple of years ago, when I began to study this passage, and I'm sure that people have seen it all along, I just hadn't seen it, I said to myself, where have I been? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, you don't have to be a linguist or a grammarian or a Greek scholar to tell me that put on is a what? Put on, that's a command, isn't it? Put on. Put on. It doesn't say you might want to put on, or some of you could put on, or take a look at it if you think it might be a nice idea. It's possible that you might. It doesn't say that. It's an imperative. Put on the whole armor of God. And then he goes on to tell us why. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You think you're so strong, but I tell you, the devil will have you in a minute if you're not protected by Jesus. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Right? You say, well, I would never be unfaithful to my wife. I would never be unfaithful to my husband. I would never do this or that. I tell you this, if you're not protected, you're in trouble. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. A young man came into my office a few weeks ago, Southern College, gave his life to Jesus. He's going toward the kingdom now. You know what he said to me? He'd been studying martial arts, like Nathan. Martial arts. And he was tough. Went to one of our academies. Walking around in one of our academies with a blade in his leg and nunchucks, ready to find someone to fight. Listening to heavy metal. And by the way, you want to find something to make you violent, there it is. He'd listen to this music and he'd go out wanting to kill somebody. Came to Southern College. Life and Teachings. I love that class. more people have been turned to Christ in that class than during my pastoral and evangelistic ministry. That's an undercover evangelistic meeting. By the way, we need to pray for our schools. Some people say, I don't know, there's people in our schools that don't know Jesus. There's problems in our schools. I say, praise God. Lord, you get them there, and you pour your Spirit upon the teachers there, and let's win them for the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Well, here he is, this young man, coming to Life and Teachings. Listening to heavy metal. Studying martial arts, Bruce Lee, new moves. So you won't get it over me, because if I can get it over you, I can hurt you. Sitting in my class. Finally, Lord got through to him. I tell you, my friends, don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your brother or your sister, your parent. The Lord can get through to them. And he decided that he would give his life to Jesus. Came to my office. Committed his life to Jesus. And you know what he said to me? He said, I finally realized that I have got some weapons now to fight against the enemy. Because you can't hit him. Can't use nunchucks on the devil. You see, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual forces. Verse 13, therefore, he says it again. Now my Bible translates the same word, put up, put on, but it's not the same word in the original text. If your Bible says take up, any of you have a Bible that says take up, that's the accurate translation. First one says put on, and the second one says take up the whole armor of God. Now that tells me something. You don't have to be brilliant to figure this out. If the Bible speaking to those who've chosen Christ, that's the first strategy, right? Choose Christ as your Savior. If it says that we have got to take it up, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? Take it up. What does it tell you? That's right. It's not just going to fall on you. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm protected. You are covered through Jesus Christ. But there is a special gift. In fact, there are two I want to share with you today. A special gift of spiritual protection as you take up the whole armor of God. What is this armor of God? What is it? Well, actually, it's just one word in the Greek text. It's the word panoplia. Panoplia. Now, can you think of an English word that sounds like panoplia? Panoply. What's a panoply? It's a covering. Thank you. It's like an umbrella. An umbrella. Put on the umbrella, the panoply of God. What is that? I'm going to share something radical with you. The kingdom of the enemy is a kingdom of what? Darkness. The kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of... If we are to put on the armor, Romans 13 says, we must put aside the deeds of... Verse 12, Romans 13, look it up later. Romans 13, verse 12, you've got to put aside the deeds of darkness. In fact, Romans 13, verse 13 says, we must put on, verse 14, the armor of light. It actually calls it the armor of light. Isn't it interesting that a lot of the places that people go to sin are dark places? You know, I don't ever remember going into a bar recently. I used to go in-gathering in England. They used to call it pubbing. I'm not sure whether we were going because they were so intoxicated they gave more, or they were just in a generous mood. It's kind of a social place in England. But I never found a place that was real bright and light. They're dark places, aren't they? People do things in the dark that they would not do in the light. Strange, because God sees whether it's dark or light. But I want to suggest to you that this is something spiritual now, that when in the morning, in your prayer time, and I'm suggesting you do that every day, that you say, Lord, I want to take up the armor of light, that you are covering yourself with a robe of spiritual light that makes Star Wars look very unsophisticated. We're talking about more than just a heat shield. We're talking about a shield that the Bible says will extinguish all of the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, it doesn't say that the devil won't still try to hit you. It doesn't say that. It says it just won't burn you. Can I share with you what I believe? Is that okay? I believe that if the curtain was drawn aside, that in this room, that we would see people who are clothed with an armor of light. I would like to say, I would wish to say, that everyone here, but I want to say this, no one needs to leave here without it on, amen? You say, I don't know, preacher. I can't see that. Someone told me that one time. I can't see that. It doesn't matter whether you can see it or not. The devil can see it. 1857, November 20, Ellen White had a vision. She saw two groups in the last days. You can read about it in the first volume of the Testimonies if you want to write it down. First volume of the Testimonies, page 179 to 181. And in that dream, she saw something very remarkable. She saw two groups of people in the church of God. Don't miss that. And one group, she said, they were cold and indifferent. And guess what shut them in? You know it. What shut them in? Darkness. Darkness. But she said the other group, they were earnestly pleading with God. Praying. And she said, as I looked, I noticed that they were clothed with an armor from their head to their feet. I don't understand. But when God says, Derek, every morning I want you to put on the armor of God, it's a spiritual protection, it's a light shield. Sounds space age. A light shield against the kingdom of darkness. If God says it, I'm going to do it. How about you? I'm going to teach it to my children. The armor of God comes in all different sizes. My children don't need plastic suits. They need the armor of God. There is no darkness in Him. What's it going to do for us? Two things. Look with me back in the text. Two things this armor of light will do. And we need them both. Ephesians chapter 6. In addition to all of this, and give this some study. It goes through. And in the morning, that's what I do. Lord, I want to put on the armor of God. I want to put on the belt of truth. I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Start with your Bible open and read it one piece at a time. Before long, you'll know it. And day by day, just put it on as part of your prayer time. Accept the gift of spiritual protection for you and your family. But notice verse 16. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish how many of the flaming darts of the evil one? All of them. You'll never have to say the devil made me do it. The first thing then that putting on this armor will do is it will give me a defense against the attacks of the evil one. Spiritual protection. But it gives me something else too. You see, we don't always need the devil to cause us to sin. We've got another enemy. What's his name? Look with me in 2 Corinthians. And let's see what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. This one text could change your life today. Just this one. Because there are some of you here saying, Pastor, if you knew the struggles that go on in my mind from day to day, if you knew the things that I wrestle with from my past, if you knew the vain imagination, if you knew the struggles that I have in my head, God's Word has good news for us today. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. By the way, when you study the Bible, you don't need to know Greek and Hebrew, though it's helpful, but you need some other translations. Sometimes the translation, it doesn't seem very clear. So have your King James and your New American Standard and your New International Version and your New King James and kind of put them out there and study. Study the Bible. Learn the Bible. See what it says. Look at this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. No. The weapons, as my young friend told me a few weeks ago, you can't fight the devil with the weapons of the world. Right? The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Someone ought to say amen. You're saying that God is giving me weapons that will give me divine power? What will the divine power accomplish? Divine power to demolish, NIV says, strongholds. And I read that and I said, boy, they're going to get the devil. Not what it's talking about. Verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And I've heard this text so many times, but I never understood it until I studied it in this context. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. King James says, bring every thought into captivity to the will of Christ. I want to suggest to you that when we accept the gift of this armor of God for spiritual protection, it not only protects us from the devil, but it protects us from that sinful self and brings every thought into captivity to the will of Christ. You see, the devil's told you can't change. That's an argument. And the Bible says that when you put on the armor, that those arguments are demolished. The devil says that your daddy did it, so you have to do it too. And I want to tell you, one of the things I've seen in my ministry since going to Southern, a lot of our children have suffered. But I tell you this, even though they have suffered, Jesus can set them free. Jesus can heal them. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. Jesus can let them sing again. And they don't ever need to say, well, that's just the way that things happen to me, and I cannot be free. When we put on the armor of God, those arguments, those pretensions are cast down. I can do how many things through Christ? All things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is not a yoke to put on my shoulders. That's good news. But there's a third step. I say, okay, let's follow this now. In the morning, I want spiritual protection for myself and my family. What's the first thing I need to do? I need to choose Jesus and lift Him up as the Lord of my life. What's the second thing? I need to accept this armor of God, this protection. By the way, I think that's a replacement for the robe of light that we lost through sin. We lost the robe of light. Jesus gives us, by His grace, the armor of God. And there are people walking around and say, I don't even want it. Foolish! Foolish. Take the gift of spiritual protection. But there's a third step in our time that remains. Looking back in Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn there with me, verse 18. And it is to pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. That's an unusual text. Notice what it says, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints. In fact, he goes on in the next verse and says, pray for me. Pray for me. The third step then, in spiritual protection for you and your family, is to pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. Now that's not familiar, it may not sound familiar from this text, but you've probably heard it in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Can someone quote that text for me? What does it say? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. It's the same thing. Pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Now, that's the unusual part of the text. What does it mean, all kinds of prayers? Are there different kinds of prayers? Of course there are. Prayers of praise, prayers of petition. The Bible says that as we go through our day, we should live in prayer. First choose Jesus, then ask for the armor to cover us, and then live in prayer. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Just a few chapters over in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. This is one song that my wife has put to music, and we sing it as a family. In fact, I may be able to share a story with you on Tuesday of how this changed my life. This one text, Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious, New King James, be anxious for nothing, but what? In everything, with prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. The third strategy, as we go through our day, spiritual protection, choose Jesus, ask to be covered with His armor, this armor of light, and then pray in the Spirit on all occasions, all kinds of prayers. The seminar that we'll be teaching this week, in the afternoon at 2 o'clock, entitled Christian Spirituality. You know what I find right there at Southern College? I have the privilege of teaching a class about spirituality. You know, our young people, they want to learn how to pray. But I've discovered that our older people want to learn how to pray too. They want to learn how to listen to God, how to talk to God, how to commune with God. Back to basics. But there's one prayer that I have been teaching the students. One prayer that I want to share with you. One of the prayers. Let's study some of the others during the week. But this is just one of them. And it is the prayer for the hedge of protection. Do you pray that prayer? You know, I found that many of our mothers prayed it. They just didn't call it that. They would say, and Lord, let the angels watch over us, right? Right? How many of you had a parent pray for the angels to watch over you? You probably did. But there's a marvelous idea here in the Scripture. One kind of prayer. I'd like you to turn back with me to Job chapter 1. We've been studying Job right before the book of Psalms in Job chapter 1 and verse 10. This text is not inspired, but it's true. You say, wait a minute. Well, it's not inspired because it's the words of the devil. But it's true. And it's true because he's complaining. That's what the devil always does. But he's complaining about something. He wouldn't complain about it if it didn't happen, right? Notice what it says. Job 1 and verse 10. And this may be for some of you here today the only thing you'll remember. But if you remember this, someone's life will be blessed. Job 1 and verse 10. Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him? The word in the Hebrew means a wall of protection. That's what it means. Have you not put a hedge about him and about his, what? Household and about everything he has? This hedge of protection, it protects three areas. First of all, it protects the individual. Secondly, it protects the family. And thirdly, it protects the possessions. Now, this is different from the armor of God. This is not the spiritual protection against the spiritual battle, but rather this is a physical protection. Now, we don't have time this morning to study into the mysteries of Job. You're studying that. And there are times that God may allow suffering to come to us, as Elder Brooks said, as we were talking about, in order to refine us. But I suggest to you this morning that some of us have been suffering unnecessarily. That some of us have been going through perhaps car accidents, physical calamities, things happening to our family, to our children, unnecessarily. I challenge you this morning. Do not let a day go by. Listen to me. Do not let a day go by where you fail to pray for the hedge of protection for you and your family. I want to share with you a quotation. You may want to write it down. 7th volume of the Testimonies, page 42, by earnest, sincere prayer. Listen. This is talking especially to parents. How many of you are parents here? Raise your hand. This is especially to parents, but it applies to all of us. If you're not a parent, there are people that you need to pray for. Brothers, sisters, children that live next door. By earnest, sincere prayer, parents should make a hedge about their children. They should pray with full faith that God will abide with them and that holy angels, that's the hedge of protection, did you know that? Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord, what? Finish it with me. Encampeth round about those that fear or trust in Him and delivers them. Protection. They should pray that holy angels will guard them and their children from, hear this last thought, servant of the Lord understood the nature of Diabolos. You know what she says? They should pray for a hedge that angels would protect them from Satan's cruel power. Satan is a devil. We need to pray. The people of God need spiritual protection. Amen? Someone was praying for Simon that night. He came into my office just a few weeks ago and he shared his story. I wish I could share it all this morning, but I just want to share part of it with you. He was a gang fighter in the city of Los Angeles. We got some unusual people at Southern College, let me tell you. Carried a .357. Fought on the streets. Gang tattoos. Going to hell and nobody cared. There's some things in the story I can't share with you. But one night he was driving a truck with $250,000 worth of drugs on it. Heading towards the Mexican-American border. And as he and the man who was actually driving, he was sitting on the passenger side, as they were driving the truck began to sway. And Simon reached out and grabbed a hold of the dash as the truck began to roll. And that was the last thing he remembered. And when he came to, he was still holding on to the dash, except it was the dash of a passenger car. And there were two men sitting there on the bench seat with him, and he had no idea who they were. How would you feel? Are these part of the organization that I'm with, or are they undercover policemen, or who are these people? And he sat there in silence. His pants were torn. His head was bruised. Saw an ambulance fly by, a police car fly by. These men drove him to the border. One man took money out of his own wallet. Never met him before. He gave him money and he said, be careful. What Simon didn't know is that someone was praying for him that night. His sister, raised a Catholic, had just become a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. She was praying for him. There is someone who needs your prayers. Am I right? And he couldn't get it out of his mind. How did I get out of that truck? How did I get into the car? Who are those people? He tried to go to church with his sister and one foot in the gang and one foot in the church, and it doesn't work. You can't live one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You've got to go one way or the other. I praise God that Simon went the right way. And he ended up in the church, gave his life to Jesus Christ, but still in his mind, he could not understand that night. Several years went by, and one night, God answered his prayer. He had a dream. And in that dream, he was looking down on the scene, and he saw the truck. I happen to believe, well, I'll tell you later. Can't spoil the story. He saw the truck begin to sway. He saw himself grasp that dash as the truck rolled. And he watched the truck roll one time, two times, three times. And finally come to a standstill. And we're not talking about a believer. Listen carefully. Someone was praying for him. There's someone that needs your prayer. And as he looked in that dream and saw the truck finally come to a standstill, two men dressed in white came over to the truck and opened the door. Hallelujah. And they took that man and they lifted him up out of that truck. You say, wow, he was lucky. He got saved from jail. No, he got saved from the devil. And they carried him and they took him over to the side of the road. That's when he woke up. And then he knew that someone had been praying for him. My brothers and sisters, as we come to these last days, as we are in the last days, the people of God need spiritual protection. And I want to suggest from our study in Ephesians chapter 6 that there are three strategies. And I want to encourage you to take this message and to share it with someone. And I thank God for American Cassette Ministries. I do. Because you can send this message to someone that needs to hear it. You may have grandchildren. You need to send this to your children so they can be praying for their children. You may have friends and you may be able to say, you know, I heard this message. And I know you're a parent, and you'll give it to them and let God speak to their heart. There are three things we need to do. What are they? What's the first strategy in finding this protection? Choose Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When we do that, the devil is in trouble. Secondly, accept the gift of what? The armor of God to cover us. And teach your children to put it on. And thirdly, pray always. All kinds of prayers. And remember this one. There's lots of others we'll talk about this week. But remember to pray for the hedge of protection. That you and your family might be kept from Satan's power. Maybe as you've heard the message today, God is speaking to your heart. Maybe there's someone here that's never accepted Jesus. You say, this is camp meeting. People tell me that down in my classes. They say, this is Southern College. And yet there are students every semester who find Jesus Christ there at Southern College. Maybe there's someone here today who has never accepted Jesus. and you say, I'm in trouble. I need to choose Jesus. I want to stand with the people of God in these last days. But I'm talking especially to those of you who think about someone today that needs your prayers. And I'm going to give you an opportunity, along with any that would like to choose Jesus today, because we should never preach without giving an opportunity for someone to choose Jesus and be saved. You might not be here again. We want to meet you in the kingdom. Amen? Amen? But I'm thinking especially of some of you. I want to give you an opportunity to make a covenant. A covenant today. If God has brought to your mind someone who needs your prayers, I want you to make a covenant. I want you to just get up out of your seat and I want you to come forward and stand at the front of this chapel. And in doing that, I want you to say, I covenant to pray for that person or those people for God to protect them. Do you understand? We're going to sing a song together. And as we sing, if God, the Holy Spirit, brings someone to your mind that needs your prayers, that needs you to pray for the hedge of protection for them, I want you not to be ashamed. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit and slip out of your seat and come forward and let Him know the covenant that you will make to pray for that person as we sing. Nearer still, nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Holy Father, thank you for each decision that has been made today. And perhaps those who have not been able to come forward, who in their hearts say, yes, Lord, I too want to respond to that invitation. There's someone that needs my prayers today. Father, I thank you that you do not leave us comfortless, but you will come to us. I thank you that in the battle, that you offer us spiritual protection. And just together, here today, we want to choose Jesus as our personal Savior. Would you say with me, I choose Jesus as my personal Savior? I choose Jesus as my personal Savior. Praise God. Is there anyone that's making that decision for the first time today? Just raise your hand if this is the first time for you. Praise God. Every decision is precious to Him. And if today you say, Pastor, it can't be that simple. But it is to be obedient to the Word of God. If you would like to say, Lord, today, please cover me with the armor of God that I might be protected from the wiles of the devil and from that sinful carnal nature even within me that leads me to sin. If you would like to say that, just say with me, Lord, please cover me with the armor of God. Lord, please cover me with the armor of God. And Father, especially, I know many have come forward because you have brought by the Holy Spirit someone to their minds that needs their prayers today. And they have come forward, not making a foolish or hasty vow, but simply saying, I want a covenant to pray for that person. Is that your heart's desire today? I want to pray for the hedge of protection, and I give you this word of encouragement, my brother, my sister. When you pray for that person, for the hedge of protection to be around them, unless they resist it, God will honor your prayer. God saved Simon's life that night, and now he is training to be a minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. There is someone who needs your prayers. Lord, please seal those decisions in each of our hearts. And may this camp meeting be bathed in prayer to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Dr. Derek Morris in association with American Cassette Ministries. International copyright 1993, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. Christian ethics prohibit reproduction in any form. For additional cassettes by Dr. Morris or other American Cassette Ministries speakers, please call our toll-free order line 1-800-233-4450 or write to us at Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania 17108 in the USA. American Cassette Ministries is a nonprofit corporation committed to providing you with powerful, balanced messages built on the pillars of our faith. We encourage your prayers and regular financial support as together we help awaken God's people to the urgent task before them, that of preparing America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.